You know, he said, give the choir another hand. I said, makes you want to be in the choir, doesn't it, Bob? He said, sure does. I said, they got an extra spot there for you. So, where did he go? Did he leave the building? Oh, there he is. Okay. Oh, fantastic. Man, powerful song. Message in that song, isn't there? Take your Bibles and turn with me to John chapter 19. Ordinarily, you see this passage of Scripture on Jesus' crucifixion, but it has another place in our lives, because in verses 25 through 27, Jesus recognizes some special people, the mothers, doesn't he? Follow on with me as I read. John chapter 19, beginning with verse 25, but where it says, but standing by the cross of Jesus, okay? But standing by the cross of Jesus where his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus then saw his mother and the disciple, which is John, whom he loved, standing nearby, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, which is John, behold your mother. From that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. You notice she didn't say, my mother. He says, your mother. Nowhere in Scripture does it ever given suggestion that Jesus called Mary mother. It's not there. But he loved her, and he wanted to make sure she was cared for. And that is what each and every one of us are to do as well. Because a mother has a great influence in our lives. From when we are born to when we are my age. You know, our mothers still give us instructions, don't they? They do. I get instructions from my mother all the time, whether I want it or not. And I take it, and I said, I thank you, and I appreciate it. I know that you care and love for me by giving me these instructions. It's always about my old car. Get rid of that thing, get you something that's more dependable. Well, it still runs. So, mothers are always giving instructions. They're always giving instructions for protection or guidance or information and some discipline along the way. Megan Opperton was walking with her 4-year-old daughter one afternoon. They were just strolling alone, walking, enjoying the afternoon. When Megan's little girl reached down and picked something off of the ground, and she automatically, a 4-year, wants to do what with it? What? Throw it. Well, this time she's going to put it in her mouth. That's what babies do. That's what kids do. Go to their mouth. Well, this is what Megan said in her own words. She says, don't put that in your mouth. And her daughter said, why not? Because you don't know where it's been. It's nasty, it's dirty, it's been outside, and it could have germs on it. The little girl looked at Megan and says, well, how in the world do you know all this stuff? And Megan says, because mothers knows all this stuff. It's on the mother's test. And if we don't pass the test, we can't be mothers. So as they walk along, about 2 or 3 minutes silent, the little girl looks at Megan and says, you know what? I think I get it. If you don't pass the test and so forth, then you got to be the daddy. Sorry, guys. I'm one of you. We don't always pass the test, do we? Mothers always pass the test. You know, it's one thing to love your mother, but it's another thing to honor her and care for her. And that's exactly what Jesus had in mind as he was on the cross. And he looked down with concerned eyes upon Mary Magdalene and those standing there with John being the only disciple there, supposedly. And look at what the scripture says again. I want you to visualize this. Because Jesus always has everyone in his own interest. You and I, that's why he was on the cross. That's why he died for our sins. Amen? And when he was on the cross, the scripture says here in verse 26 and 27, when Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple he loved. He loved his mother. He loved his disciple. Well, he loved the whole world. That's why he was on the cross. He died for our sins. He said to her, "Dear woman, here's your son." In New American Standard, it says, "Behold your son." And then he said to this disciple, "Here is your mother," or "Behold your mother." And from then, this disciple took her home to his household to care for her, to protect her, to provide for her. A little boy was given an explanation of his love for his mother. And he was telling the people where they live, "I love my mother with all of my strength." So they said, "With all of your strength." Kind of explain that to us. So he said, "Okay, I can do that." He says, "You know, we live in this apartment building. We live on the fourth floor. And so every day, I go down to the basement where the coal is, and I carry that coal all the way up to the fourth floor and put it in the coal bin because my mother is so busy and she's not really strong. So I do that on my own. I carry it up the stairs to the fourth floor and put it in the bin. Now, I guess you could say that I love my mother with all of my strength because I carry the coal all the way up so she don't have to do it." Isn't that caring? Is that being considerate? This young man had the right ideal in his mind how he is able to care for his mother and provide for her. So let's look at some ways that we can love our mothers. And on your outline, I put some just simple words there, verbally. This is the first one. You know, if it's possible, tell your mom every day that you care for her. You know, express your admiration for her best qualities. As Nancy mentioned that this morning, to the children to share something about their mothers. You know, sometimes, you know, we need to find out what their best qualities are. You know, all mothers have qualities, right? What are your mother's best qualities? Caring, loving, supportive, working hard, encouraging. You know, I can go on and on and on. Qualities mean, you know, Proverbs chapter 31 gives a good explanation of the nobility and the quality of a woman. Solomon had it right in mind when he gave verse 1 to verse 31, all the qualities of a mother or wife. So look at those qualities and verbally tell your mother how much you appreciate it, the qualities. And some of those are passed on down to you. And sometimes we do those qualities. We act out those qualities in our own way, which is a tribute to your mother. If you're willing to say, "Mother, I appreciate you and I love you for the qualities that you have passed on down to me and my siblings and all of those that we know. We appreciate you." So, if you must confront her about something, do it gently with love and respect. Secondly, affectionately. You know, your mother was the first one to hold and cradle you. You think about that. She was the first one to hold and cradle you. Reminds me of just recently, our daughter Kim, when Jessamy was born. You know, she said, "I didn't know that a baby could be so loving and a gift from God." You think about it, your mother is the first one to hold you and cradle you and nourish you. Think about that time. Of course, we don't realize that when we're that small, but as that nurture continues on through life, think about it. How much it means to you knowing that your mother is there for you and she loves you and cares for you that much. So your mother, you know, return that affection by embracing her as often as you can. You know, a lot of people, a lot of sons and daughters are not able to do that. Me for one. You know, all I get to do sometimes is just to talk, you know, with my mother. And not as often as I like to, but in our conversations, let them know how much you love and you care for them. You know what? Normally, they are the first one to tell you. And that's the last thing I hear when I hang up the phone with my mother. "Mike, I love you. Mike, I pray for you." You know, that means something. That really means something to you, knowing that, you know, here you are, you know, catching up with your parents in age. It seems that way, you know. My mother's in her 80s. Here I'm in my 60s now. And I'm catching up with you. But I still hear you say that. And not everybody gets to hear that. But it is wonderful to hear your mother or your dad or your someone tell you they love you, even after all of those years that they have been with you, even though you don't get to see them that often. Something else, you know, that I think that we need to, ways that we can love our mothers is patiently. When we're young, we're not very patient, are we? As we get older, our patience seems to mellow out. And young people, I know we weren't very patient with our parents, were we? In their discipline especially. But as we get older and we have our own, we learn that we should have been a little bit more patiently so we could learn that and pass that on to our own, right? Because patience is something that doesn't come automatically, right? It's something that you learn as you go along, raising children and nourishing them and teaching them the right ways, the godly ways of life. So, you know, nobody is perfect, right? I hear that a lot. My parents are not perfect. And then we hear parents say, my kids are not perfect, but you love them anyway, right? But if there's one person who merits our tolerance and understanding, it's who? Mothers. We must remember that she labors under a huge responsibility. Instead of complaining, we should pray for her often. I remember growing up, my mother worked a lot of jobs and so forth, helped to provide. And at one point in time, it was only just me and my mother. And she worked whatever and did whatever to help put, food on the table, make sure I had transportation, make sure that I got to school, and all of the things, and provide for me in my life. So, and even as I went on to Bible college and seminary, my mother was still there supporting and caring and loving and praying for me. So I knew that my mother was praying for me and always would have her support no matter what. So that's what we are to be patient. You know, even we don't always understand, and even maybe they don't always understand about our lives, but be patient and loving and caring with them. Another way we can love our mothers is gratefully. Regardless of the way that you're raised, your mom gave you life and likely did the best she knew how. In fact, if you knew of all the circumstances that influenced her style of parenting, you know, you and I might be surprised at how well she managed. I talked to a lot of people over the years who recognize after they got older how well their mother managed to raise them, being a single parent and so forth like that. And that, see, a mother is going to go that extra step with her siblings, her daughters, her sons. And sometimes we don't appreciate, we don't think about that until we're out of the home or we're on our own. And then we look back and say, you know, if there's anyone there for me, it was my mother. And I can say that. My dad, you know, I love him. I love him with my heart. But my mother, it didn't matter thick and thin and so forth, she was always there for me. And she's always, from the very young till my age now, has told me how much she loved me. My daddy tells me that, but I heard that in latter years, not in early years. So, mothers are very special to us. Therefore, look for ways to express your gratitude for all she has done. Tenderly, another way we can love our mothers tenderly. See, be open and sensitive to her conditions. And see, as they get older, you know, things changes. Their ways changes and so forth. So we need to look at them more tenderly, more understanding. And generally, moms give incredible amount, and all they usually want in return is to be appreciated and maybe heard. I know that for a fact. They want to be heard. Because when I'm talking to my mother, sometimes she'll tell me this. I said, yeah, I know that. She said, yeah, you know that, but you don't do that. And I said, well, I know. I'm trying, though. I'm trying. I'm working on that. Well, you need to try a little bit harder. I said, okay, I'll try a little bit harder. So they want to be heard. I think it's just that natural instinct of the motherhood caring for their loved ones. And I appreciate that. And that's why we got to be tender and patient in that area. Remember, you will not always be able to enjoy her presence. I'm not always able to enjoy the presence of my mother, but she's still alive and lives in Florida now. But, you know, many of you, your mother has gone on to be with the Lord. Amen? So we will get to see our mothers and our fathers and our loved ones and our children once again. See, that's so glorious. That's the most magnificent thing that I can say here this morning. You know, this life is not the end. So while we're here on this earth, do all we can to show love and kindness. That's what Philippians 4:32 says, be kind one to another and be willing to forgive one another as the Lord, through Jesus Christ, has forgiven us. You see, did you read from Ephesians? Someone read from Ephesians 4 a while ago. I quoted for that. But verse 32 says that, be kind one to another. Be kind one to another. So, be kind and tenderhearted and, again, forgiving. See, the truth is, there's never a legitimate reason to hold a grudge against your mother or anyone. And the verse I just quoted tells us that, forgiving one another. So if you've ever begun to feel angry over some past hurt, remember how many times both she and God has forgiven you. Think about all the sacrifices she has made for you and show her forgiveness and compassion. Now, you might think, well, that doesn't pertain to me. But at some point in time in your life, you know, whether you're small or old, there's been a time that we haven't always felt love and kindness in our hearts, have we? It might be because that we've been disciplined or we didn't get our way or get to go somewhere or do something and we got angry and maybe thought some things and so forth. But the scripture says that we are, as an adult, to forgive one another, love one another, be kind to one another. Ephesians 4:32. And then another way that we can love our mothers is cheerfully. Many times we take our troubles to our mothers, but forget to bring our joys and successes to them as well. You know, every one of us can probably remember back going through school or going through some crisis situation. We go to our mothers, right? How many of us goes to our mothers rather than our dads? A few, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why? We know they're sensitive, they're compassionate, and they have better listening ears sometimes than we dads, right? And that's true. I believe that's true. And so many times in my life, you know, if I had a need or a problem or a situation, you know, I went to my mother because I knew she would sit down and listen and talk with me and help me reason through it and work out a solution and so forth. And I always remember that, and I respect and honor that my mother was willing to do that. So honorably, we can love our mothers too. In my conversation with my sister, I don't know, about a couple months ago, our mothers oftentimes are praying for us. And a godly mother will do that. They will pray. They will pray, Lord, be with my child, protect them, guide them. And they'll go to the point of saying, if my child can ever be used in your service, Lord, I lift them, I dedicate them to you. Now, I believe that's one of the reasons I'm standing here today, because I was dedicated to the Lord's service. And I was talking to my sister, like I said, a couple months ago, and we was talking about mother and everything and her care and working out things for her future and everything. And she says, "You know, Mike, mother, I think, really loves you. I know she loves me, but she says she sees no wrong with you." I said, "What?" "She thinks you're perfect." I said, "Well, I think that resembles me, I guess." Ask Brenda. Yeah, no, don't ask Brenda. And we go on and so forth, and I said, "Well, Linda, I know that mother feels the same way about you too." She said, "No, it's only you that she sees no wrong. You're perfect. You can do no wrong." And I said, "Man, I need to really thank her for that." And here my mother is living with you, and she's saying all of this to me about me and so forth. I said, "I really need to tell my mother how much I appreciate her kind words and so forth." But you know, there's something special about our mothers. I know she loves Linda just as well as she loves me. But you know, when you're somewhere else, you can talk about the other person better than you can if you're in right with them, right? A pastor friend of mine, when I was at Brushy Fork, when I came to Brushy Fork, Jim Harden, he was living in Florida. He came back and discovered he had colon cancer. And he came to the service one night. Everybody had left, and he wanted to talk to me. He left, and I came to Brushy Fork, but he came back for a visit. He wanted to come back because he knew that his time was limited because they wasn't giving him much hope. So I said, "Jim, just sit down here on the steps here and just talk. Just share with me from your heart." And he began to share about the years of serving the Lord, and pastoring was the most wonderful thing that God had called him to do. And he said, "Now, here I'm 38 years old, and I'm dying with colon cancer." And he says, "The people of my church in Florida surrounded me with love. The people here at Brushy Fork that I've known for years and years has surrounded me and sent me cards and called me and told me how much they appreciate me and love me and everything." And you know what he said? "When you're gone or not around, you know, that's when people say those things about you. Why can't they say them to you, your face, when they're with you?" And I can think of one person, Pearl Herring, which was a member of Brushy Fork Baptist Church there. I did her husband's funeral, and after the funeral, she says, "It doesn't matter where you are, if you're still here at Brushy Fork, or no matter if you're in another state or another country, I want you to come back and do my funeral." I said, "Well, Pearl, you'll forget about me if I'm gone." "Oh, no, I won't." I don't know, 10, 12 years passed, and I got a phone call, and it was her daughter said, "Pearl has passed away." And Brenda and I had kept in touch with her and talked with her and visited with her when we could. But she told me this one day. I was at her house. She said, "Pastor Mike," she said, I don't want to be like a lot of people say how much we appreciate you or something if you're going or what. But she said, "I'm going to give you your roses while you're here, while I'm here." You see, that's what we ought to do. Roses to her was to say, "I love you, I care for you, I appreciate you, I'm praying for you." See, those are the roses. Nancy said carnations, her mother's favorite flower. We see, we give people their flowers while they're living, by kind words, by appreciation, by saying, "I want to encourage you, I'm praying for you. You see, that's the way we are to do in life with everyone. And this being Mother's Day today, a special day, what a day it is to really show our appreciation and honor our mothers. May we pray. Our Father, we thank you this day that we celebrate the lives of our mothers and our grandmothers and our women of the church and all the world. Lord, we thank you that this day has been set aside. And we thank you, Lord, that you encouraged those at the cross. John, you said, "Behold your mother." Every lady that is within reach of our lives, we can be an encouragement. We can be a son or daughter to them, even though they're not our biological mother or parent. We can reach out like you did there on the cross and say, "Take care of her, provide for her." And Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, that if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, just by reading the scripture, Lord, just by your Holy Spirit tenderly searching our hearts, revealing what we need to do, may we be open and honestly with ourselves and step out and make a decision for you today, Lord. With the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we just pray that we allow you to take control of our lives. And Lord, help us in a lot of ways to be a mother or a dad or someone that really needs that tender, loving care. Just to reach out and say, "You know, I care for you. I appreciate you. I love you." It'll make a great day in anybody's life when we do that. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for your love and what you did for us on Calvary. And always keeping us in your heart, making sure we're provided for and cared for. We thank you in the precious name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.